All right, you know we are in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. We'll be looking at verse 15. So you can take your Bibles and turn there. I do want to review verses 10 to 13 as we get going. Tonight we'll be looking at the shoes, our feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the three things that these shoes do for the believer. We are reminded that we are in spiritual warfare, as Paul writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He reminds us in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And we looked at that. That's in the passive tense. It means be strengthened. You and I cannot strengthen ourselves. We must be strengthened by the grace of God and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Again, though we are breaking this down into the pieces and focusing on the pieces, remember that each piece must be put on and that the whole works together in concerted effort, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so the idea there is to withstand the attacks, the onslaught of the evil one, that we would not give ground to him. Folks, the devil is the, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, God of this world, little g. And he has taken much territory. If you look at our country, at our country's history, look how much territory Satan has taken. We are no longer truly a Christian nation. And we, at one time, could have been considered a Christian nation. People, even if you're witnessing to them, when I was growing up as a kid, I could witness to somebody, and even if they weren't in church then, as a teenager, as an adult, had at least been to vacation Bible school or Sunday school, they had heard some verses. There was at least a basic or elemental knowledge of some of the things in the Bible, but that is not the case today. But you know, the sad thing is when the devil grabs territory in the church or in our homes, in our personal lives, especially when God has laid at our feet and at our disposal the supernatural gift of the armor of God, and he empowers us with a supernatural power of his grace in order to be able to wear it and to use it. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, we're reminded that the people who oppose us, blasphemers, persecutors, they are not the enemy. Though they have chosen to make themselves our enemy, Christ commands us, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Because ultimately they have, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, been blinded by the god of this world, the ruler of this present evil age. We know that is Satan. Now they have, from bit so far, has been hidden from them the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ. They only have one nature, a sin nature. They are the slave to that sin nature. And it should not surprise us when they misunderstand our motives and our message and oppose us. Realize that there is unseen evil that is the motivation and the impetus behind that persecution. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, here it is again emphasizing the imperative nature of this. In verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And that's a slightly different picture. We've talked about that. That is that when you withstood the onslaught of the enemy to counterattack and to gain ground and to be in possession of the field. Again, none of this is through our own strength. None of this is in our own wisdom. We wield the gift of God's grace in the armor, and we are empowered by his grace to have the strength to do so. God gives us the wisdom and the guidance of his Holy Spirit according to the word of God to give us that battle plan and strategy so that we can fight the good fight of faith. But we come tonight to verse 15. Read it with me. The Bible says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, we were talking about how Paul would have been looking because he would have had Roman guards during his times of imprisonment and in as he's writing this book, he's in prison and he's looking at these Roman guards, and he knew about their boots, their shoes. They were kind of sandals, but they were leather straps, and they had a thick sole on them, and within the soles were embedded studded nails, kind of like cleats going into the ground. And then the straps would wrap around the ankles, and they would tie over that the greaves or the protection, kind of like if you played soccer, kind of like shin guards. But it was kind of a hinge thing that also covered the top part of the foot because feet are vulnerable. And so the very first point that we're going to be looking at tonight is that these shoes provide a stable foundation. Now, if you are playing soccer or football, and then you are playing baseball, you're wearing two different kinds of cleats. If you are working on a job, you might be wearing just regular work boots, or if you're working like in a steel factory, you're wearing steel-toed boots so that heavy pieces of metal don't fall on your feet and cut off your toes or something like that, right? If you look in the Olympics that just took place, the running shoes of a sprinter and the running shoes of a marathoner are vastly different. So what is the point? The point is that these shoes are specific for the Christian, for spiritual warfare. These are specifically designed. One of the interesting things that a guy showed me one time was he took apart an old combat boot from the Vietnam era. And apparently in Vietnam, the Viet Cong liked to bury sharp objects in the ground. And the idea was to wound the advancing troops, right? And you lame them in the feet by having sharp things come up and poke through you, then you're out of action. And when you wound one guy, take him out of action, it takes a couple of other guys to carry him to the back lines to get him medical help. And so what they developed in these combat boots is you take the sole apart, in the middle is a metal mesh that protects against those spikes coming up through. And so we have protection and we have stability. We have the spikes or the cleats, so to speak. We have the protection of the greaves on the top so that it provides a stability, a stable foundation. The gospel provides a solid footing for everything that we do. I was preaching at probably the most interesting Christian camp that I've ever had the privilege of serving. It was a Christian camp for inner city kids out of Indianapolis and kids from Chicago and some of the other cities, Cleveland, some of those. The camp director and I, the first day or two of camp, rode around on a golf cart with one of those megaphones, and between me and him, we would hop off and break up fights. That's what we were doing. I mean, these kids came from really rough inner city backgrounds, and they'd never really been loved. They'd really never had a whole lot of discipline. And so we had the opportunity to love these kids, to work with them, and to see God begin to work in their lives. There was one of the guys, and it took a special kind of a counselor. And one of the guys, this is cool, coolest counselor I ever met in my life. He didn't have any legs. You remember this, guys? Yeah, my family remembers it. This guy did not have any legs. He had a skateboard. And these tough street kids that knew street fighting would come up to him, but his arms were strong as most people's legs are, and he would grab them and tackle them to the ground and get them in a submission hold like that. There were times when we were in the chapel, and the chapel actually kind of sloped down towards the front, and it had pews in it that were bolted into the floor, and if kids were messing up, you know what he would do? He would jump with his hands on the back of the pews, and he would right across the back of the pews, running across the pews using just his hands. And he would catch those guys, knock a couple of heads, and then settle them down and put an arm of love around them and talk to them some and pray with them and then go back to his kids. Really cool. But there was this one guy who had been to Bible college, was training for the ministry, had an MDiv. It takes at least 3 years of study to earn that. He said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." And I talked to him for a couple of hours one night after they got everybody settled in bed. And he said, "I'm not sure I'm saved." And then he began to list different evangelists and people and pastors that he had talked to that had shared the gospel with him, that had asked him questions, and that he had had all these discussions. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's not these men that can give you assurance of salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And nobody can talk you or convince you that you have a personal relationship with Christ, because it is a personal relationship with you, between you and Jesus Christ. And you have to trust that when Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish," you have to trust the truth of the verse that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The promise of Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, and I've been struggling with this. And he says, and I asked him, I said, so how effective do you feel you've been as a counselor this summer? This is his first summer at this camp. He says, not at all. I said, how effective do you think you're going to be someday if you're a pastor in a church? He says, I won't be. I said, what kind of a leader in your home, a discipler of your children, can you be if you don't have assurance of your own salvation? He says, I won't. And by the way, I was not able to give him an assurance of his salvation, and I knew I couldn't. I went right back through the gospel, and I told him something other godly men had told him almost verbatim, word for word. It is simply a matter of personally trusting Christ to do what he promised to do. He knew he could teach soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. He could teach theology. He could teach Christology and pneumatology and all the ologies. He could teach them. But there was still something in his heart where he did not have 100% assurance of his salvation. And so he did not have that sure footing, and Satan could cast doubts and attacks at him. How can you fight if you don't have sure footing? And so one of the things that the gospel does is it provides for us a stable foundation. The sense, as one writer said, that the Christian soldier is prepared with the gospel of peace to meet attacks similar to those against which the ancient soldier designed to guard himself by the greaves which he wore. In other words, look, the gospel gives me a solid standing. It is that defense that causes me to stand, because my assurance and my standing is not in myself. How many times, if you've ever counseled with somebody about assurance of salvation, how many times have you counseled somebody and what it all came back to was, well, I'm not sure if either one or two things. I'm not sure if I said the right things exactly when I prayed, okay? Or I'm not sure I was sincere enough. They'd be able to tell me, I'm not sure if I'm saved because when I asked Christ to save me, I didn't cry any tears. I mean, and they personally really struggled with that. I didn't cry when I prayed to trust Christ as my Savior, so I'm not sure I'm saved. And we always got to go back, of course, to the Word of God, because you need that solid foundation. You can't stand against the wiles of the devil unless you know that you're saved. Now, there are a lot of Christians that struggle with assurance of salvation, and I'll tell you why. And I think I've mentioned this earlier when I was talking about the breastplate of righteousness. The longer you walk out of fellowship with Christ, the less assured you are you even have a relationship with him. And if you're not sure you have a relationship with him, then that goes back to the question, do you even have his salvation? Because if you're born again, you've entered into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Now you know you're saved. Now you're walking in fellowship with him. But the farther you walk out of fellowship and in disobedience, the colder your heart grows to the things of God. The more distant you are, the less communication there is between you and God through the ministry of his Holy Spirit, because you're not listening. You've been ignoring it. You've been walking in the flesh. You're out of fellowship. Your sin, as God told Old Testament Israel, your sin is separated between you and your God. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can break fellowship. And the longer you walk out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, the wider open you are to the attacks of Satan about the assurance of your salvation. And here's the other thing, because we're talking about shoes tonight. When you're putting on these shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace and you are walking, know you are prepared for any attack of the accuser, because who stands as our advocate? Jesus Christ stands as our advocate. And we can stand on the promise of the Word of God. We can stand on the character of Christ. We can stand on the truth of the unchanging Word of God. It provides the footing for everything we do. Assurance of salvation brings peace and stability. One writer said this, I like this. He said, if we are warring with the devil, we are at peace with God. And if we are at peace with the devil, we are warring with God. When I saw that, I read that a couple of times, and I said, I think I'm warring against the devil and at peace with God, but I better double check and make sure that I am not at peace with the devil. You know, maybe we're compromising in some areas in our personal walk that we shouldn't. One of the things, and I'm not going to get into politics very far tonight, of course, but one of one of my concerns in our country is that it used to be that intelligent and reasonable people that had differing opinions in our government for the good of our country could come together and there could be some compromise and an agreement reached, a reasonable, sensible agreement. Nobody got everything they wanted, but everybody got something, and hopefully it was the American people and our country that got the most benefit out of whatever that compromise and agreement was. But folks, let me tell you, there is absolutely no benefit, zero benefit, when you compromise with Satan. Amen. And it's one of his greatest lies. And one of the great benefits of walking as close to Christ as you can is that you are in fellowship, and the stability of these shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace strengthen you. You can't advance in the Christian life if you're struggling with the assurance of your salvation. So first of all, they provide a stable foundation. Second of all, they prepare for action. Look at verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation, what does that mean? It means a preparedness to do and to suffer all that God wills, a readiness to march where God sends as a Christian soldier. Mark 16:15. Jesus commanded us, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What are these verses telling us? Hey, we need to be prepared for action. We need to be prepared to stand for the truth in a gracious manner, but firmly and clearly in a biblical stance, and specifically here in the context with the gospel, so that we can proclaim the gospel, so that others can hear it. They see the transformation in our life, because when we're walking with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we are walking in joy, we're walking in assurance, we're walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And one of the natural things is going to be, hey, let me tell you about my best friend with whom I'm walking. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what he did for me and what he wants to do for you. They prepare us for action. It also prepares us to take a stand and to fight against the corruption that is in the world around us. Someone said this, it is the heart piece produced by the gospel that gives the Christian warrior his readiness for combat. To have a consciousness of peace with God and to live in tranquil communion with him enables one to fling himself into the battle with strong determination and calm assurance. You know, when I think of that, I think there's so many times when we are held back by fear, either of what people are going to think or possible persecution that could come our way, that we become afraid of the cost of living out the gospel and of proclaiming the gospel. And yet I think of one of my heroes, and please don't get upset, all right? This is a godly man from our history. Stonewall Jackson is one of my heroes. He was a godly man. And Stonewall Jackson one time was up on his horse. Bullets are flying all around him. All of his staff and officers are begging him to get off that horse and find cover. And he sits up there. And this is how he got this reputation. It was at this particular battle when someone said, look at Jackson. He sits up there like a stone wall. You know why? Because he said, I have found that because of God, I am as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bed. He had a rock solid faith in Christ. He was a gospel witness and testimony. As a matter of fact, talking about having such a tranquil peace of God that you're ready to go out in the battle in many wars, and this is one of the things where I'm so thankful for godly chaplains that are in our military. When guys are getting ready to go out on a tour of duty, when they're getting ready to face battle, a lot of times back like in the days of the war between the states, you had a little more knowledge many times that a battle was about to take place or an inkling thereof. And so the chaplains would get the men together and they would pray and they would sing praises to God. And they would make sure that their hearts were right before the Lord, and it gave them great courage to go out into battle, knowing that they were prepared to face death. As a matter of fact, it's really amazing if you study the history of it. I was in evangelism for almost 18 years. There were great revivals that broke out both in the Northern and Southern armies through the Civil War. And many folks were saved during that time. But folks, the same peace and tranquility, let those men have great confidence and courage in the face of physical battle, is the same peace and confidence in the gospel that ought to give us great courage to go out in the spiritual battle. Hey, listen, it is worth fighting the devil to protect your home from the onslaughts and the influences of this world in your children and grandchildren. It is worth it to stand as salt and light, to stand graciously but firmly for the truth and to proclaim the gospel and not to allow threats to stop you from finding ways to share the gospel. For enticements to try to trick you into compromising your biblical principles for some temporal advantage. So, these feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, these, if you want to put it this way, these combat boots of the gospel provide a stable foundation. They prepare for action. And then they, third of all, they provide speed and agility in battle. Such sandals not only gave protection to the feet, but enabled the soldier to move quickly and surely. You got to remember, in ancient times, warfare was mainly hand-to-hand combat. And so there had to be quickness of movement. That was essential. And so there needs to be, Paul explains, that we must have our feet ready to serve God, to go with the gospel of peace. The idea is that the disposition of mind that makes men quick to see their duty and ever ready to plunge into the fight. This is a readiness from and is produced by the gospel of peace. In other words, as one writer said, we must be mobile, flexible, and ready with the truth. This is a place to have in the Christian life, to live in constant readiness and flexibility. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I just don't know how to share the gospel. My first question to you is, are you saved? Well, yeah. How long have you been saved? And then begin to share. And I'll stop sometimes and I'll just say, well, tell me how you got saved. And as they begin to share their salvation testimony, I'll say, and share with me, what verse was it that God really used to turn on that light bulb and to illumine your understanding with the gospel? What verses did the Holy Spirit use to make the gospel real to you, understandable, where you said, that's it, and you trusted Christ? And they'll tell me, and I'll say, there you go, there's your testimony. That's how you witness. Now go tell somebody what Jesus did for you. You remember the maniac of Gadara? How Jesus cast the demons out, and then the man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind? What did he want to do after that? He wanted to go with Jesus. And what did Jesus say? No, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for thee. And he went home to Decapolis, that was a 10-city area, and began to proclaim it. The transformation of his life and his personal testimony of salvation were powerfully used of the Lord to see many people saved. And there are gospel tracts in the back. Go back and look at those gospel tracts and look at some of the verses and the way that the gospel is presented. You can incorporate some of those things into your testimony. Those things, oh yeah, I forgot about that verse. Yes, that was one of the verses that person showed me that brought me to Christ. Man, that was so helpful. I've forgotten about that. Yes, study out some of those gospel tracts. We've had something called The Exchanged, where people come in every night of the week for a week, and we have an evangelist who started this ministry who comes in and he trains and answers questions. I mean, there's an app called the Exchange app that you can use to share the gospel with other people. Folks, we got to put on the shoes. Remember that God's given us the armor, but the Bible gives us the command here, what? Put on the armor of God, okay? So the Bible says put on the armor of God. It assumes that it's not put on, that we must make the conscious effort to put it on, and we must apply it. So putting on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace means do your homework, do some study. It may be something like coming to me and saying, Pastor Todd, I would like some help. And the first thing I'm going to ask you about is, well, what's your salvation testimony? Because you know what? Everybody's interested in a human story, a human interest story. And they're going to want to hear your, quote, life narrative. And you can begin to share with them some of the things that have gone on in your life and come around to the point and say, you know what? The one thing that has been most life-changing for me is when I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because it's not just changed my life, it has changed my eternity. And let me tell you what God did for me in that. And if that person will allow you to, then share with them your gospel testimony, including verses of Scripture. Train. You can mark gospel verses in your Bible. There are even soul winners, New Testaments, that already have the gospel clearly marked there. And you can be prepared so that you are ready. You say, well, what if I don't know the answer to that question? Then say, just be honest and, hey, you know what? That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to go to Pastor Sweat because he has all the Bible answers, and I'm going to ask Pastor Sweat. Now go to somebody and say, hey, listen, they asked this question, and in the context of this gospel conversation, I wasn't sure how to answer them. Could you lead me in the right direction? Could you give me some help? And me or one of the other pastors, Pastor Sweat, we would love to help you with that. And just be transparent. Say, you know what? I'm not sure what the best answer would be to share with you right now, and I want to be careful with this. So let me go back and ask one of my pastors, and we'll get in the Word of God together, and they'll give me the biblical answer, and I'll come back to you, and that's going to help me to grow. So thank you for asking that question. You can study. There are great books written by Christian apologists. And as a matter of fact, that's the last verse I wanted to share with you tonight, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer. That's that word apologia. We're not apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. No, it's not apology. It's not excuse. It's giving the reasons why we believe the Word of God, the reasons why we believe Jesus Christ, the reason why we believed in the gospel. And look what it says. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you have your combat boots on and they are laced up and you are ready. You have a solid foundation so that when Satan would try to knock you backwards or try to paralyze you with doubt, you could say, no, I stand on the promises of the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation is sufficient for me. I have eternal life. And it prepares me for action, and I want to go. These shoes are for being on the march, to go to others and to share the gospel. And as I walk in my daily life and as I see opportunities, as part of what one of these commentators was talking about, I am already got this mindset where I'm looking for those opportunities. I am prepared for those opportunities. It doesn't mean I have all the answers. It doesn't mean I have the perfect, quote-unquote, sales pitch of the gospel that nobody can resist. No, absolutely not. But what it means is that I am willing for God to take my testimony and some verses that I have prayed over and memorized so that I can share the gospel. Even doing something like going to the App Store and getting the Exchange app. All the verses are there. A clear presentation of the gospel is there. You can use that. We have some bridge tracks, which kind of illustrate with pictures as well as with verses and simple statements, the gospel. And you can take that bridge track and sit down with somebody, and you can share the gospel with them in just a few minutes. There is no excuse for any Christian to not be sharing the gospel. This is part of the armor because it gives us stability, it prepares us for action, and it provides the speed and agility in battle so that we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, so that others can turn from their sin to Jesus as their Savior and receive His gift of everlasting life. Let's bow our heads for just a moment tonight. We need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because we're going over uneven ground. We're going to have unexpected attacks from the devil, but also maybe unexpected opportunities that come up that we need to be ready to take advantage of. But unless we have that stable foundation of assurance of salvation, we're not going to be prepared for action. If we're not prepared for action, we will not move with speed and agility in the spiritual battle of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with just a moment, I'm going to have our pianist play through just a hymn of invitation, just for a stanza or two, to give you an opportunity to pray. And maybe for some of you, you've not been saved very long, and you need some help in getting prepared. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you had the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace on at one time, but you're about to trip over the laces, or you've taken them off and kicked up your feet for a rest. And maybe you need to put the shoes back on and say, Lord, I want to share. I want to be able to witness the gospel. Maybe some are out of fellowship with Christ. There's something in your life, whether God commands it and you refuse to obey, or God forbids it and you ignore that and go your own way in rebellion against the commands of Scripture. And maybe there's some here who are doubting the assurance of their salvation. But you've realized tonight, oh, I know I'm saved now, but I also know I've not been in fellowship with Christ, and I'm missing out on that blessed peace and joy of walking with Him. And this life is too short, and the gospel's too important for me to live so selfishly. And you would want to repent of that and do business before the Lord. And maybe that for some of you, there's somebody in your life that you are praying and you want to see them saved. Maybe you need to do a little more preparation and being ready to share the gospel. Maybe you need to ask God to give you the courage. Ask God to give you the watchfulness and the insight to see that opportunity, that you may be quick to run towards that opportunity instead of trying to avoid it. As our pianist plays our hymn of invitation now, would you just pray?